impression is the surrendery one, in my opinion. That's the it's if you haven't got it, then maybe Meter can email you a file, which I should have done ages ago, maybe we did, called Meditation Pack. And in there is a surrendering to the void.
If it's anxiety based, is it a different thing? Because this is more actually anxiety.
Well, the thing is, it is still relevant because depression, effectively, or melancholy is another word, means black bile. The energetic basis is too much heaviness in the liver. The liver and the subconscious, which is stored in the liver, as it were, is burdened by the past, by mistakes, by dead-end paths, by just memory. And we all have, except Meeta, loads of clutter. And every now and then we want to clear the clutter out because it burdens us and makes us feel earthbound and heavy. Our souls feel heavy with our memories. And so what we do, we get a symptom, and that's depression. So depression is not a disease that's unhealthy. It's a healthy symptom of telling you that it's time for a clear out. What people do, of course, is they try to negate depression, make it seem like it's bad. And then, I mean, it'd be like saying to someone, if they've lost a person, just answering a question, if they lost someone in a bereavement that, and they're grieving, and you say to them, well, no, grieving is bad, you don't want to grieve, you know, that would be a ridiculous thing to say, because they must grieve to release the pain, otherwise it's going to be stored somewhere. Similarly, if someone feels angry in an oppressive situation, you can't just say, don't be angry, then they'll be stuck in a victim state. Similarly, depression, if people say, I won't and I don't want to feel depressed, and they go to their doctor and the doctor suppresses the depression with antidepressants, or they do something to negate it, then all they're doing is heavying their subconscious further and further and further until finally the liver can get into physical disease, they get all kinds of other problems. And eventually that means apathy of will. They don't have any opportunity to change. So number one thing to do is imagine a bonfire of white light and you throw into it all your piles. Pile of unfinished jobs, tasks, all the people you no longer keep up with, all your emotional hurts, wounds, unrequited loves, abandonment, sacrifices, broken hearts, all your friends, family, loved ones, possessions, gifts, a home, and destiny, and skills, everything. Just throw everything in and you lighten yourself. And anxiety is a secondary part of depression because a person trying to let go of their memories will have anxiety because they then feel free. Anxiety is a healthy symptom when you're about to feel more free, but you feel temporarily insecure. So I still recommend doing it, but today we're going to do a load of emotional meditations, so that some of it will help, and we'll see. So let's start with a chakra, a pairing meditation. Now, you probably all know everything about the chakras. Yeah, so seven chakras, you know, but and they often, obviously, people focus on one chakra at a time, often. But once you balance it, the chakras eventually have to unite into, eventually, one chakra column. So there's no seven separate chakras working at different rates, having different issues, and all bouncing energies off each other. It becomes a bit of a mess. So eventually what you do is you start just having a single chakra, as it were, a column of chakras. And every chakra is in harmony and synchronicity with every other chakra. So this is a meditation we're going to do to connect the base to the sacral, then sacral to solar plexus to heart to throat, throat to brow, brow to crown. So we're just going up to the next one. So we'll start with the base to sacral link. We'll link the two chakras up. Now, what would that mean doing? Well, effectively, the sacral chakra should help create more flow in the base chakra. And the base chakra should ground the sacral. Okay, so one way to imagine this in this meditation is you focus on your base, then you focus on your sacral, then you imagine a bridge of light or a flow between the two. Now, what can that can do is, as you ground the sacral more, because the base is grounding energy, then the sacral starts connecting in a new way to Mother Earth, to the nature elementals, to nature itself. And there are forces in nature, the elementals, which create even more expansive flow in the sacral. Because most people's sacral chakras are too isolated from nature, from Earth itself. People who have a very powerful flow with the Earth, with their sacral, they have a kind of big natural fertility cycles, they plug into the moon rhythms easily, they easily get fertile, pregnant, because there's all these forces around them. Of course, so you don't want to do it too much, too early, but when you're ready, and what you can do then is regenerate your sacral. And it's an open-ended loop with Mother Earth, okay? At the same time, other things start happening. You ground your creativity, okay? So let's start with that, and I'll explain each pair as we go along. Okay. So start by first just being in a bubble of light. Just a simple bubble of white light. Watch your breaths a few times. So naturally draw your attention to your base chakra. At the base, your coccyx, your perineum. When you're ready, turn your attention to the sacral around the reproductive area and just see both of them one at a time. Get a sense of what they feel like. In your own time, imagine a bridge or flow of light or liquid light, water, flowing between the base and the sacral, up and down, sharing their energies. Almost try to imagine new flow that has never occurred before in your life will occur. To imagine you're building a relationship between your two chakras, getting them to become more familiar with each other, more in harmony. Sense as you ground the sacral through the base, it connects the sacral to new levels of energy in the earth. sense that flow will continue and that it's already affecting all your other chakras as you come out. Does anyone want to share anything?
I felt good. I've got a bad back at the moment, and it feels like stuck energy, and it felt like it was all starting to flow.
Oh yeah, good. Okay, so going on to sacral solar plexus pairing. Now, a lot of this will clear Atlantean karma. What do I mean by that? Any of my students here? What happened in Atlantis between the solar plexus and the sacral?
Come on.
Yes, very good. The only reason Sanam knows is because it's in a recent class. Mm-hmm. But you guys can't remember, can you?
I remember two different classes. That's one.
So what happened is the sacral chakra was too overactive pre-Atlantis during the earlier race Lemuria, and it got excessively active, and therefore the Atlanteans who needed to develop the solar plexus chakra, which is an emotional center, and the sacral is more a center for fertility, sexuality and so on, they therefore needed to refocus and emphasize their solar plexus. They had to squash the sacral. So what that has created is a program built in, which means that the solar plexus for most people, or a lot of people anyway, there's an internal block between the solar plexus and the sacral chakra. And that internal block often translates as emotional issues that then block people's relationships, sexuality, creativity, their general flow. I mean, a person can be infertile, for example, not because of anything physically wrong in the sacral, or much wrong, but because of emotional issues in the solar plexus. Now, typically, the solar plexus is angry, or is blocking, or is creating a lot of a wedge that blocks the sacral from switching on too much, in case the sacral starts making mistakes again. A really good time it all manifests, the solar plexus blocks on the sacral, are teenagers. Have you ever come across an emotionally insecure, sexually frustrated teenager? Yeah? There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And that's their solar plexus fighting their sacral, which is all, you know, fine. So what we're doing in this meditation is you focus on the sacral, then you focus on the solar plexus, then we'll create that bridge, that flow that we did before. And we'll see if you can, you know, make the two be in harmony. Now that means a few things has to happen. One is your solar plexus has to trust your sacral, trust that it won't go into mistake mode. Are you going into the wrong relationships? Going into promiscuity, going to hedonism or lust-based programs which are embedded in the sacral. The solar plexus has to believe that the sacral isn't going to go and make karmic mistakes. So that's all got to be part of it. And you often have to create the proper flow. get forgiveness and, you know, clear a backlog of chronology, sexual relationship chronology stored in the sacral, and get your solar plexus to forgive yourself and forgive everyone else. So it triggers a lot of emotional healing. Okay. So now, back to your bubble of light. And this time, taking your time, put your focus on the sacral and then the solar plexus in whatever timing you want. And just be aware of what they feel like as individual chakras first. You may get a sense of whether they feel have a colour or there's abundant energy or whether it's cramped. Just create a bridge, a flow of light between the two chakras, making the one flow into the other, back and forth. And the key emotion you may start feeling is an inner joy, inner happiness, as if you now like yourself as opposed to hate yourself. These chakras often have a hate for each other. So try to imagine you can generate huge amounts of energy, vitality, as they work in harmony. It generates a huge power base within your belly. unstoppable. It will continue even when you come out of the meditation in your own time. Okay.
Hot.
You're hot. Okay. That's the feedback then. Okay. All right, shall we go on to the solar plexus and heart? What of course is a key difference between this pairing? Obviously. It's naturally paired anyway. There's pairing of chakras, you know, crown and base, throat and sacral. So solar plexus and heart already are in a loop. Not that we're creating any artificial loops anyway. So they both are emotional centres, yeah? And what kind of emotions are in the solar plexus? Well, they're generally the unconscious ones or the subconscious ones. You're not usually aware of the emotional energy in your solar plexus, and you're not meant to be. And it's things like buried stuff. But inherently, the solar plexus should generate, as hopefully, did you kind of feel surges of energy with the last one?
I've got a little energy crumb.
Yeah, that's good then.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, just work with it.
I am.
Yeah. So all this surging of energy then wants to go somewhere. And that's what the solar plexus should always be creating, an abundant sense of flow in life. That things are really... Have you ever had one of those really great days where everything's happening? You know, did that ever happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you ever see Meet the Parents
mm-hmm.
with Ben Stiller? Did you ever see that film?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Meet the Parents. And he says, oh, the planes, they're always late, they rip you off with the seats, the car rental, and so on. But every single thing, him and his fiance, they hired the car, they got upgraded, they got moved to first class with no extra charges. Now, everything was flowing. Do you remember that scene
near
the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great example of what happens to you and what the universe gives you on a daily basis if you are flowing with it. It's got nothing to do with the outside world, it's whether you're flowing. And that isn't just a one-off, that should only happen now and then. That should be happening all the time. It's you who are creating the blocks. So therefore, that's the energy of the liver and the solar plexus and the spleen. So therefore, you're not worrying, you're not feeling poverty, underconfidence, low self-esteem, worthless, victimized, power, disempowered, right? None of that. Instead, you're feeling abundant and flow. Everything's and assertive and courageous and confident. Now, the heart is constantly receiving whatever the solar plexus is sending it. So, of course, what is most people's heart's chakra is going to be like? Cramped, stuck, feeling blocked, limited, poverty of emotions. Because that's what the solar plexus is not feeding it, you see. That's what the heart requires, feeding from the solar plexus. So as you create the flow, you might initially feel discomfort and pain, and that's a good sign. And if you get that, Sylvie, don't worry. If you get a lot of crap pain to your heart, it can feel like a heart attack. And that's the pain of the heart chakra as it starts absorbing the pain of the solar plexus, instead of the pain of the solar plexus staying buried. Because the nature of the heart is it can transform the solar plexus. But as it receives the pain, then you respond in your heart with courage and grace and acceptance and forbearance and fortitude and inner joy and, you know, all those higher qualities. Like Job in the Old Testament, he gets sent boils every day from God. But he meets it with faith, you see. If the heart, if your heart can be like that, you'll right your solar plexus in no time. And then you create the flow. Okay, so that's the kind of thing we want. We want boils. So, imagine then, you haven't read the Old Testament, have you, Rita? So imagine your bubble of light. And this time your consciousness is already well seated on your solar plexus chakra. Maybe you sense it's already flowing a bit more. And that flowing that you started with the sacral makes the solar plexus flow out horizontally into the world and back in. But now put your attention on the heart chakra. Get a sense of it for a few moments. And then imagine a flow upwards between the solar plexus and the heart, back and forth like a loop. To imagine one particularly key energy you're activating in your heart or between the two chakras is faith. Faith in the universe. Believe that the infinite is possible. That nothing can stop you. Limited by how limited your heart chakra is. So get ready to expand to the next flow. In particular, this meditation allows you to become even more in your heart, heart-centered. from that heart-centeredness come out. Does anyone want to share something there?
It's the same chakra.
Sorry?
The heart and the solar plexus is the same chakra.
You felt that, yeah, that's the point. Eventually you feel that everything is the same chakra. Yeah. They're working as one. This happened to me too. So, next one, or some of you are not back? So am I being a bit too quick?
No.
No. Otherwise we won't fit them all in. So then you've got your heart and your throat chakra. What do you think about that pair? I mean, just say anything you like.
Trust.
Yeah, just one word answers, that's
truth.
All I need.
Truth.
Yeah. All right, so basically the throat chakra, you can imagine for our purposes, is like a release valve for the heart, okay? So that the heart is constantly, at some level, there's a part of your heart chakra that wants to express what you know, your emotions, release something. Even if it's a happy emotion, joy and so on, at some point you want to release that joy, otherwise it becomes like a manic suppression, doesn't it? But you know, you may have... So the throat chakra is like a funnel or a safety valve, a release valve. Now most people have, therefore, their throat chakra feels too limited and blocked inherently, because of blocks in their life, recurrent sore throats and antibiotics, tonsillectomy, they've been told to shut up, or they've got thyroid problems. There's all kinds of blocks in the throat chakra in many people. So they don't and haven't said what they wanted to say. Therefore, the heart chakra, even when it starts expanding and opening up, you know, on the path, sometimes the throat chakra doesn't open up enough in phase with the heart, so you've got this kind of log jam, and that's one of the, you know, big things that often happens. So what we'll do here in this pairing, you'll focus on the throat and the heart, and you imagine pouring your heart out through your throat, expressing yourself truly emotionally, and we'll see what happens with that. It's obviously a two-way thing. New forces can flow from the throat chakra into the heart as well. And what's those forces? That's things like channeled messages from your higher self, your spirit guides, angels, higher beings can actually enter your heart through your throat chakra to share your heart space. But let's see what happens.
But is it safe to always have your
heart open? Well, obviously, it's not safe if someone is vulnerable, they're on drugs, they've got shock, or they've got boundary issues. You know, often it's not safe if you don't know who you are, basically. If you don't have a strong enough sense of self or identity, then you shouldn't be too open in any chakra. the first thing to do is always to close yourself in until you know yourself, and then you can open up. But you're past that point. You all know who you are, don't you?
I still feel like I have to keep closing my heart chakra.
Yeah, that's fine. So there's stages, but no, for this moment, you're in it, it's all safe. Mita's home is safe. No entities can enter this bungalow. Okay. So, let's... So again, imagine you're in your cocoon. So again, sensing you're already part of you, centered in your heart. In your own time, just get a sense of your throat chakra, and you may already sense that there have been blocks there over your life ready to come up. Does your throat chakra feel nice and expanded and open and powerful, or not? Just imagine a flow from your heart out through your throat chakra. Expressing your heart through your throat, through your voice, and through your words. Notice that what you release from your heart through your throat must be positive, higher, loving energies to the world, to others. Sending out negative energy through your throat simply closes it. In your throat is almost like a filter. It knows what is appropriate to say. Imagine also through your throat, as it releases and flows from the heart, you are more and more speaking your truth from your heart. fireworks people. Don't they know people are meditating here?
They were pushing the heart up to
yeah,
the
okay. Any feedback? Someone's got to say something with this one.
I felt it connected me to your mind. My mind was influenced by so many other things. And then when the heart and the throat connected, it naturally went up to the mind and brought the mind.
Good. So then you can combine three things, can't you? Mm-hmm. Thought, word, emotion. Because obviously you haven't really been, you know, saying what you're thinking with enough truth and clarity and words of power. Not to say you, everyone. You know, most people have lack of synchronicity between their thoughts, their words and their feelings. Okay, anyone else? All right, so then the throat and the brow center. In some ways, though, of course, the brow center is like a connection for all the chakras. But anyway, the throat and the brow, what would that do? Well, what's the unifying sort of organ structures between the two? The endocrine system, yeah? The hypothalamus and pituitary gland is in line with the third eye. Of course, as you know, the hypothalamus is releasing thyrotrophic releasing hormone, which goes to the anterior pituitary, which releases thyroid stimulating hormone, which then stimulates the thyroid gland to release T3 and T4 thyroid hormones, which raises your basal metabolic rate. So you did that at school. Now, that link between your hormones... the hormones that stimulate, basically remember your pituitary gland is stimulating the hormones from your thyroid. Yeah. But your pituitary is also releasing hormones to stimulate your adrenals and your ovaries or your testicles. And so in a way, think of it like a hierarchy or a network. If there's a block between your third eye and throat, that automatically creates a block between your third eye and every other gland. Because if you block one gland, you block all the glands. They all rely on each other to work. You know, if one's gone, the other's gone. So as you open up the flow between the two, you'll open up a kind of new flow in your whole endocrine system. And that's always good. And let's see, I mean, obviously the third eye is a lot about insight, wisdom, knowing. So that adds a deeper level of energy to the throat chakra, you know, speaking with wisdom and stuff. Okay, so in your cocoon, sensing you're already at your throat chakra. So therefore just visualize a ball of light in your third eye. Just getting a sense if your third eye feels already open and expanded or not. And then in your own time, imagine a loop of energy between the two, particularly from your third eye down into your throat chakra, and the two working in close harmony again. While that's going on, sensing that it opens up new forces in your third eye and your pituitary gland there. New forces that then flow into the rest of your body. To imagine parts of your third eye are waking up for the first time because of this flowing. Anyone want to say anything there? Okay, well, should we go to the next one then? So the third eye to the crown chakra. I think a good one here to imagine, because of course the third eye is very much about psychic and perception. The crown is very much about your guidance, you know, the channeling, the link to your higher self. So when the two, nothing should be separate, as I said, but when the two merge, it's like imagining a pyramid. You can imagine the top of your head is like a pyramid, and that the crown chakra is at that point of the pyramid, and this is like the third eye represents the whole of the base. So what you're doing is as you merge the two, your third eye encircles your head. So you don't have a third eye anymore at the front. Mm-hmm. You have it every way around your head, the whole perimeter or circumference. The third eye at the back of your head, for example, helps you see your past lives. Whereas this one at the front helps you see your future lives, and so on. So you literally do have eyes at the back of your head. Yeah. Well, if you did physically, you'd be a mutant, but energetically you have. So imagining that like a crown. Then as it further merges with your crown, your whole head becomes a third eye effectively. You perceive with your whole brain, as in you can channel, and messages can come in anywhere into specific parts of your head. So let's see what happens with that one. So again, just putting your focus naturally, it's already at your third eye. This time, look also inwardly at your crown chakra as if it's a point at the top of your head or even above your head. you're accessing chakras above your crown as well, through your crown. And just have the thought that through your crown, you are connected, like tethered to your higher self, like a string. So now visualize flow, new flow between your third eye and your crown chakra. It's quite subtle. Try to imagine one of the things this does is it opens up new areas of your brain and of your mind and your ability to guide and know your own thoughts, even while your mind is more open to the universe. Sensing as well that with this new flow, it adds a new level of mystery to your crown chakra. There's always something mysteriously new ready to descend through your crown. Anything there? Do you want I always get the feeling that you're like just impatiently waiting for the next meditation. Irritable. No, you're not. Okay. Did you notice though? Because it helps. I mean, I'll mention something, whether you believe it or not. I kind of felt that particular technique was also healing and preventing mental illness in the future. I'm talking about future lives as well. So in a way, what we did there was prevent schizophrenia. Because some of you might have become schizoid or schizophrenic. The chances of at least one of you becoming schizophrenic in the next life or two is really high. Because schizophrenia will become an epidemic within the human race. It's already starting to increase. Because our minds are becoming more global, more joined up with each other, and you know, with the rapid and seamless sharing of knowledge and lives, people sharing each other's lives so much, and networking, social networking, until people get to a point in their mind, they don't know if those are their thoughts or someone else's thoughts. Particularly as we carry on evolving, we are losing our identities. Mm. And that's meant to happen. So there's meant to be an epidemic of schizophrenia, but you can prevent it. And one way of preventing it is to always still know which are your thoughts and which are others, because you create a connection between all your different personas. You know, you connect all the bits of you together into one sense of higher self. Only your higher self knows that all these bits and pieces are its lower selves. Do you get the idea? If you're not connected to your higher self enough, then as a lower self, you can feel fragmented from the other bits of lower selves wandering around with you, in your mind, as it were. All right. But don't worry. Anyway. So let's go on to the final meditation. I just thought it may not be particularly, you know, as grounding or anything, because you might feel a bit spacey, but we'll go back to teenage years, between 14 and 21, and that's when a key incarnation of your emotional body occurred. It should have occurred. Everyone becomes more emotional during teenage years, and a lot of you know that cycle, 7-year cycles. Now, the specific thing is that you engage your emotional body or interact your emotional energy with your friends, your peers, your teenager homies, you know. And what you do is your part of your emotional body flows out, extrovert, and merges with them. You become what a tribal group energy, don't you? Because you're in the group. Doesn't matter if you don't think you had a group, you still were trying to project emotional energy out. Then a part of your emotional energy flows back into your own inside and goes into an deeply introverted space of just yourself, where you go into your own cocoon. So you go through these two extremes of extrovert and introvert in your emotional energy. Now, ideally, your friends should therefore have been the right friends for this exercising of your emotional body. If your friends, on the other hand, were, say, critical or controlling or persecuted you or bullied you or didn't support you or put you into danger, you know, in some way, or gave you drug experiences or other stuff, or went into power struggles with you, then parts of your emotional energy are stuck out there or cramped inside, if that makes sense. So what we'll do with this technique is we'll go back and ask to have the best, doesn't matter if you don't know them, you just ask to imagine the best friends the universe could have ever given you, make them up, and those friends would have been the best support for your emotions as you flew out and merged with them and flew back in to digest the experiences you had with your friends. Let's see what happens. So in this technique, you may feel a lot of the focus is through your heart chakra, heart and solar plexus. So in your mind, imagine as if it was yesterday that you're going back to your teenage years between 14 and 21. You can remember your friends or your social company there at that time. And then in your own time, imagine from your heart an energy flew out to merge with your friends. That was your emotional energy. What kind of shared energy were you in with those friends? Did your heart feel you could trust and have positive emotions with your friends? If not, ask for new friends, and might I suggest, ask for the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ to be your 12 friends, as if they are teenagers with you, the 12 disciples. That emotional energy flowing with the 12 disciples as your friends, but then also flowing back inside your heart, into your inner shell, learning from those experiences. Finally, complete by now imagining one single chakra column, like a trunk of a tree but made of white light, running all the way down your body from the crown to the base into the earth.